Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
We're going to be in Romans chapter 8, starting at the beginning. If you're in one of the Emmanuel Bibles, you can find that on page 919. And if you're using your Bible, Romans 8. I do invite you and encourage you, if you can, to open that, to look at it. You don't have to stand. It's not a gospel reading. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. Since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through His Spirit that dwells in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry out, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, by the power and the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, open your word to us. Let it move in our hearts, that we may leave changed for your kingdom. Amen. So in this passage, Paul is talking to the church in Rome, a divided group. And what I mean by that is there are Jews there and there are Gentiles. And so there are those that have been under the law and those that have never been under the law. And so he's addressing this topic. He's addressing it in two ways. He's talking about the flesh and the spirit. And almost all the times he's talking about the flesh, it's not good, is it? This means no. No, it's not good. As a matter of fact, he says it leads to death. And then every time he talks about the Spirit, he says it leads to life. Yeah. We're rolling now. Now y'all are awake. So Paul uses these two terms, and they're terms that the church in Rome had to deal with. And sadly, they're terms that our society still has to deal with. Too many times we say we believe in Christ and we continue to live by the flesh. And Paul tells us what will happen. And too many times we are scared of the uncertainty of what our lives might look like if we live by the Spirit of God. Today is Trinity Sunday, and so what that means is we recognize that God is three in one. It's hard to understand, isn't it? But God is Father, Creator of all things. Nod your head if you can accept that one. Yeah, we got that one. Jesus is God in the flesh, Son and Savior. We want those two. But when we mention the word Holy Spirit, y'all get uncomfortable. People don't want anything to do with the Holy Spirit. And here's why I think that is. The Holy Spirit takes you out of control of your own life. See, when you surrender to the Holy Spirit, you no longer have control over your life. It'll flip your life upside down. See, that's what Paul's addressing here. And so I wonder, do we ever stop and think who we are? So this week was a fun and a sad day in the Sizemore household. Our only son stumbled upon one of the classic movies of all time. And he didn't know it was a movie. It was The Lion King. How many of you have seen The Lion King? All right, the rest of you have heard of it. If not, you're under 20 and you need to stop. Repent of your sins and go to Redbox or what's the online? Netflix. And you need to watch that thing tonight. But in that classic movie, there's an interaction between young Simba and a friend. Simba is no longer living where he's supposed to. And this friend begs him to come back to save the people and to return as the rightful place of king. Simba's then seen alone in the field, and he mumbles, "What good would any of that do? You can't change the past." And he's referencing the death of his father that he felt responsible for. And then he cries out towards his father. He says, "You promised you'd always be there for me." In defeat, Simba lays down. He's dejected, he's alone, and he's empty. And off in the distance, this crazy monkey, the baboon, isn't he? Rafiki. He starts singing this song and dancing something about squashed bananas. I mean, seriously, that's what he said. Something, 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 squashed bananas, something, something, something. Google it. It's on there, okay? It's Swahili. Yeah, it means something like you're a baboon and I'm not, right? That's something what it means. So Simba basically says, "Who are you anyway?" And Rafiki looks back at him and says, "The question is, who are you?" And Simba says, I thought I knew. Now I'm not real sure. So this conversation continues. And Rafiki, he does that crazy chant about the bananas, and then he tells Simba, who's a lion, that he's the real baboon and the baboon's not. And Simba says, "I think you're confused." And Rafiki said, "You're the one confused. You don't even know who you are." And Simba says, "Oh, and you do." He says, "Actually, I do. You're Mufasa's boy." And then he runs off. Well, now Simba's in, wait, you know my dad. And so he's chasing him down. And then they have this other conversation. And he says, "You knew my dad." He says, no, I know your dad. He says, "I hate to tell you, but he died." He said, "Oh, no, he's alive. Come here and I'll show him to you." And so they end up down by the water. And he tells them to look into the water. And he looks. And Simba just sees his own reflection. And he says, it's just my own reflection. And Rafiki says, "Look harder. You see, he lives in you." And as Simba looks, his reflection slowly begins to change into this majestic king, the appearance of his father. And then the father begins speaking to him and says, "You've forgotten me. You've forgotten me." And he says, no, how could I ever forget you? He says, "You have forgotten who you are, and therefore you have forgotten me. Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more than you have become. Remember who you are. You are my son. remember, remember, remember. And then he's gone. Simba eventually decides he's going back to battle his evil uncle, Scar. And I'll leave the rest for you to watch yourself. But you've forgotten who you are. Therefore, you've forgotten me. My whole life, I've been known everywhere I go. Now, don't tell you that because I'm happy about it. Because every time I started getting in trouble, somebody would walk up and go, "You're Ott's boy." Yeah, I am. And you know how they knew that? Because I looked like him. So I wonder, when we go about our daily lives, people look at us. Would they say we look like somebody that the Holy Spirit's living in, or would we look like somebody who's living in the flesh? You see, the truth is that the early church had it right. You stay together. You hold each other accountable. You love one another. You take care of one another. We live in a society now that says, "I'm going to take care of me and mine, and you take care of you and yours, and it's none of my business." And if I got a friend, a church member, a relative that's doing something they're not supposed to do, I'm not dare going to say anything to it because that's their problem, not mine. So what ends up happening is we come to church, we put on our Sunday best, and then on Monday we wake up and we go about living in our same habits as we always have. We don't want the Holy Spirit to start moving in our lives because it'll change everything. It'll mean that we then get to get excited about coming to church, and it's not something we just have to do. We'll get excited about reading the Scripture because it's going to make our life better. Not just, "Well, the preacher might ask who's read their Bible, so he's going to invite me to Sunday school." Also this week in the Sizemore House, we celebrated Thursday, May 24th, as Aldersgate Day. We had hot dogs and hamburgers, hot hamburgers, and hot fries and hot tater tots, because that's the anniversary of the day that John Wesley's heart was strangely warmed. It only matters to Methodist preachers. Nobody else cares. But it's like a holiday for us. But what changed on that day, and I told you this isn't what he thought, it was the assurance that he had that what Christ did for him was good enough, and that was going to change how he lived out his life and his ministry. And here in Romans, this is exactly what Paul's doing. He's trying to give them assurance of who they are and how they should be living their lives. He says, "So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors." Y'all know, do you know that you're in debt? And I'm not talking financially. Some of us are in a lot of debt. That's what going to school does for you. But we're all in debt to the Holy Spirit for the work of Christ, for God's sacrifice. So he says, don't then live your life like you're repaying the flesh. Live your life like you're repaying the Spirit. "For all who are led by the Spirit are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption." And then he goes on. We can cry, "Abba, Father." And we are, it says, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If you need to remind yourself of something, you need to put somewhere you can see, "I am a joint heir with Christ," would be a good one to put. Do you follow what he's saying there? He's saying, if you follow the Spirit, you're a child of God, that you've been adopted. See, you know, when you have a kid, you got to love them. You got to. They drive you nuts, but you got to love them. That's your flesh and blood. You got to love. If you're a decent person, you got to love that child. But an adopted child was chosen to be loved. Do you see what Paul's saying here? He's saying, God didn't have to love you. He chose to love you. And because you are adopted, you are heirs, right? Y'all know what an inheritance is. Some of you hoping you get one, right? I'm just hoping there's no bills left to pay. Amen. I heard somebody knows what I'm talking about. but an inheritance. When the parents die, they leave it to their children. All the riches, all the blessings, all the property belongs to the children. And he says, you are heirs of God. What does that mean? That means you get everything that is God's. You get life and peace, we read earlier in the chapter. You get the abundant life. But then he takes it a step further and he says, you're not only heirs of God, you are heirs with Christ. Two Sundays ago, we talked about Ascension Sunday. Christ is no longer here physically. Physically, he is in the presence of God, sitting at the right hand of God in the seat of authority and power. And he's saying, you're joint heirs with Christ. You are united with him, sitting in the seat of power and authority. So Simba does return. And his mother and his uncle both recognize him as Mufasa when he returns. They say, Mufasa? Scar says, it can't be. You're dead, Mufasa. And then Simba tells them who he is. But he looks so much like his father, they thought that's who it was. Now, how great would that be? How great would that be if you go to Bilo, isn't that up? Bilo this week, Food Lion, Dollar General. And somebody says, you look like your father. You go, yeah, I don't even know my dad. No, I'm talking about your father. You look like one of them crazy people that got that Holy Ghost living inside of them. I'm not supposed to say ghost or Holy Spirit. So it's Trinity Sunday, and I think we would all say that, yes, we want God. I think we would all say, yes, yes, and we want Jesus. But the true question is, how much of the Holy Spirit do you want? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that will guide and direct your life. Do you need to be reminded of who you are? You're a child of the Most High King. You're an heir of the kingdom of God. You're a joint heir with Christ. That's the one that gets me so tickled. That means I'm sitting up there with Jesus and all my enemies are up underneath my feet. Maybe you need to be reminded of that this morning.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.